You're listening to the Sunrise Community Church Podcast. At Sunrise, we desire that the glory of God would be the glory of this city. If you would like more information about our church, please visit our website at sunrisecc.com. Let's join this week's message.
So it was in 2014, 2015, when I was helping lead a young adult Bible study at First Baptist Church in Newport Richey. When I first met this person I'm about to mention, we talked for about an hour in the church parking lot. I promise you this is not a romantic story about how I met my wife, Lucita, but when I met my best friend, John Cooper. He's not here this morning, but I do have much to say about him. So he knows the date and time. You could even ask him. John is more than a best friend. He's my brother, and he is family to me. Though he's not flesh and blood, nor did we have the same mother. So we are closer than blood, because the blood of Christ binds us. We have many things in common and similar interests, but Christ unites us. He has been closer to me than my sisters because he has encouraged me, he has prayed for me, and he has spurred me on out of the depths of my sin, sorrow, loneliness, and depression, and has pointed me to Christ, the one who makes me whole. So there's another person in here that I can say just the same, who is sitting in this room, and that is my brother Anthony Del Valle. I praise God for both of these men. I could take it further with Adam and the other elders, but my point is that all of us have somebody in our life that we consider closer than family. We all have flesh and blood family, but there are those we consider to be a true family. So today, we will examine a gospel encounter about who Jesus defines as a true family. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Mark 3, verses 31 through 35. Again, Mark 3, 31 through 35. The passage begins, "And his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, 'Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you.' And he answered them, 'Who are my mothers and brothers?' And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother.'" So it's important that we talk about the context of what's going on here. So Mark describes earlier in his gospel a chaotic scene where Jesus is forced to preach and heal from a boat near the shore to keep the crowds under control. The multitudes seek Jesus because of his miracle-working power. While the scribes and Pharisees hate Jesus and are plotting against him because of those same miracles. So while demons immediately recognize Jesus as the Son of God, neither the large crowds nor the Pharisees understand that Jesus is the Messiah and the Son of God. So these religious authorities conclude that Satan must possess him. His family assumes he has lost his sanity. So the verses 31 and 35 are thematically connected to verses 20 to 21. And the religious leaders have accused Jesus of being an agent of Satan. His family, sad to say, accuses him of being deranged and in need of forced confinement. It is in this context Jesus makes clear who is family and who is not, who is inside and who is outside. It is here we begin our gospel encounter. So verses 31 through 32, we'll see Jesus' family outside. And his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." So Mark resumes the account, which was broken off in verse 21, as I clarified. So the scene takes place with Jesus at a house which was most likely Peter's, surrounded by those listening to his teaching. As the text points out, a crowd was sitting around him. Those sitting around tell him, "Hey, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." So word is passed from person to person through the crowd because Jesus' mother and brothers could not get in, could not get to him. So standing outside, they send someone in to call him. Mary is there. Jesus' brothers are there. Joseph isn't mentioned, most likely because he is deceased. So why is Jesus' family outside seeking him? They are there to intervene. They want to take him home. Notice, they are standing on the outside while others are on the inside. So why is this significant? The reason is that at this point in the story, they are acting like outsiders. So he knows their intention is to take him away over the fact that he is causing a public spectacle or in some sort of an attempt to save him from the crowds. So in another event, Jesus' blood relatives were not willing that he should address or stay with the crowd following him, the very ones Jesus referred to as his mother and brothers. They want to take him away from that. They want to rescue him, in a sense. So they are on a rescue mission to save Jesus from the ultimate rescue mission. They are saying that he is out of his mind because their minds are not set on the things of God. That they do not want him to die. They do not understand that it is the will of God that he dies. They think he is out of his mind, and I can relate. I used to think my parents were dorks before I knew Christ. Honest to God. I remember making fun of them behind their backs because they were wearing matching shirts from the church they attended. I was like, what losers they are. I mean, how ironic now I wear a Sunrise t-shirt everywhere I go. And when I walk into church and, for instance, see Adam wearing the same shirt, I say excitedly, "No way, you too." And then awkward bro hug, and then let's get a picture. You know how it goes. You see, we have family members who look at us a certain way and do not understand why we follow and submit to Christ. They just don't get it. However, we pray for them that God would save them. So Jesus' family would eventually repent and believe. James, for instance, one of Jesus' brothers, who was trying to get Jesus away from the crowds because he thought he was crazy, would eventually become a follower of him. Not only that, he would end up writing the book of James, but also pastor the church in Jerusalem and be killed for following Christ. We know that later Jesus' family repents and believes and becomes disciples of him. See, this is encouraging for us who have friends and family that may call us crazy. Our families may not understand our willingness to live a life in submission to Christ. Though our family may be on the outside looking at us and considering us a fool to follow Christ, we can know that Christ empathizes with us and will show us those who are obedient in his true family. Though some of us here might be the only Christians in our family, know that you and I are not alone. If your family doesn't appreciate your faith, take heart. Jesus faced the same thing in his family. Be faithful in obedience and faithful in proclaiming the gospel. So we have looked at Jesus' family outside. Now let's look at the next point, Jesus' family on the inside. Mark 3, verses 33-34. And he answered them, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and brothers." Notice here, Jesus asks a rhetorical question. What do you mean? Who is my mother and brothers? So Jesus is not aloof from who his mother and his brothers are, nor is he crazy. Jesus drew a sharp distinction using a metaphor of family. So Jesus was asking a question to get the people that he's talking to start thinking. To start thinking about which relationships are important. So he wanted them to change their focus from the physical to the spiritual. In verse 34, he begins to look around the room. Jesus looked to his disciples specifically, those sitting at his feet, learning from him. He is looking at the family that are inside with him. He was not disowning his physical family in this passage, but showing that believing in him is the criteria for entrance into his spiritual family and kingdom, no matter what blood runs in a person's veins. So notice that Jesus' choosing of the crowds over his blood relatives foreshadowed the fact that most of his kinsmen in Israel would not believe in him and would not therefore be his brethren. So while Gentiles would be saved through him and would become his brethren, it's a pronouncement of judgment upon unbelieving Israel. In other words, Jesus would be rejected by his own. Recall John 1, 11-13, which says of Jesus, "He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So though Jesus' statement here is shocking, it's important to understand that within the Jewish culture, this was a significant statement. The crowd would have gasped and said, what did he just say? Why would he say that? So Jesus lived in a culture that prized family above just about everything. Some Jewish teachers even claimed that honoring one's father and mother was more important, or was most important, of the Ten Commandments. Thus, when Jesus' mother and brothers came to visit him while he was speaking, no doubt those who had gathered around him, Jesus would have expected him to welcome his family. They would have expected him to do that. So, however, he is not going to abandon the work that is entrusted to him because his family was seeking to take him home because he thought he was crazy. He was not going to give up on that. He would not make obedience to the fifth commandment an excuse for disobeying the first commandment. He turns his family interrupting into an opportunity to ask those listening to reflect on a far more important spiritual question. Who is in the family of God? See, Jesus is making a clear distinction here of who truly belongs to the family of God. What he is saying is that there's something that runs deeper and is actually more meaningful and significant than just flesh and blood. He's saying there's a new family, a spiritual family, that surpasses the earthly family. He's saying that not everyone is part of this new family of God. See, this is Jesus' family inside. Here are my mother and brothers. Jesus prioritized the relationship of those who believe over those who do not. Jesus is teaching here that there is family that is more united than flesh and blood. See, he knows the family is no less fallen than other institutions. He knows that marriages end in divorce, that parents are cruel to children. He did not come to praise the family, but to redeem it. Even a godless family can bring joy to its members, but the highest glory and pleasure for the family come when the family put God first. Amen. See, Jesus was not suggesting we, as believers, should abandon our families. That's not what he's saying. We should not abandon our families in order to serve him. He commands us to put God's will above everything else in life, including our families. It is God's will for us to take care of our families and to provide for them and their needs. However, in Christ, we gain a new family that lasts forever. To them, we commit our all. So continuing on in our gospel encounter, let's look at the next point. Jesus' true family. Mark 3:35. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. So what Jesus is saying here is those who trust me and obey me are my true family. The fruit of salvation is demonstrated by obedience. John 8:31, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. Jesus said over and over and over again that obedience is the mark. So you can look at it in John 12:14-15. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So Jesus was pointing to the disciples as those who are his true family. You see, they dropped everything to follow him and to obey him. In doing so, they became Jesus' true family, since even his own brothers did not understand the nature of his mission and will not believe that he is the Son of God until after the resurrection. Jesus redefined the scene of family, that literal kinship pales in comparison to spiritual kinship based on obedience to God. See, the fruit of being in Jesus' true family is obedience. We are in the true family if we keep his commandments. John writes, and by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. I want to clarify something here. I'm talking about obedience. But what I'm not talking about is this is not teaching salvation by works. That would contradict the rest of the New Testament. When he says, whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother, he is pointing to the evidence his family members show that they are in his family. He does not say, whoever does the will of the Father can enter my family. We do not become the brothers and sisters of Christ by our obedience. Rather, we identify ourselves as the brothers and sisters of Christ by our obedience. It is the fruit. So those who do God's will reveal themselves to be in God's family. Obedience to God is not legalism. It's evidence that we actually belong to God. It's also a sign of love. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. Loving Jesus means obeying Jesus. It means doing the things that he's revealed in his word. Things like loving our enemies and our neighbors, serving one another, walking in purity and holiness, living generously, walking in humility, making disciples, giving Adam and Andrew chocolate donuts. In other words, through the Spirit, we are brought into Christ's family and united with Christ. Beloved, our new disposition is to obey Jesus. This is evidence that you belong to Him. As you walk with Him, the fruit of the Spirit will develop in your life. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. By His blood, Jesus made a new family. So if you belong to Jesus, you belong to Jesus' true family. And our relationship with other Christians is a more fundamental part of our identity than our relationship with our physical families. Our blood-bought kin is closer to us than our kin by blood. Beloved, by faith, Jesus is composing one body. See, there is no bond of relationship more holy and united than the spiritual. Look at it this way. It's a consummation of God's reconciliation. He's renewing Adam's fallen race by making sinners into a holy and heavenly sons of God. All who believe in Christ have received the Spirit of adoption as sons. We are heirs with Him. This changes everything about what it means to be in a family. For those whose families are utterly dysfunctional, who are lonely, abandoned, orphaned, or divorced, it is a warm invitation into a real family. It's God's family. We share Christ's familiar rights and standing in the eyes of God, and that means we will inherit the glory and riches of the heavenly kingdom. So those who have a healthy and close family, it lifts our eyes to a greater reality, a far greater reality. Near the end of his famous work, Confessions, St. Augustine records the last days of his mother Monica's life. By that time, Monica's fervent prayers had been realized, and her son was not only a Christian, but a fervent defender of the Orthodox faith. Augustine recalls a moment standing with his mother at a window, conversing very pleasantly about present situation and the future, specifically the eternal life of the saints. So this image is beautiful. A mother who will soon pass away, comforted by her loving son, and two saints contemplating the joy of heaven, which will soon be attained by one of them. And he writes, "We open wide the mouth of our heart, thirsting for those streams of thy fountain of life, which is with thee, that we might be sprinkled with its waters according to our capacity, and might in some measure weigh the truth of so profound a mystery." Guys, they both stood there realizing they were more kindred than ever before. They were more close than ever before. So I have a few thoughts on how we apply this. First, examine your life for places where you put family and other things above Christ and His love. I want to encourage you to ask forgiveness and strength to enable you to do His will. Your children need to know the importance of this spiritual family that is here at church, outside of their clubs and sports teams. The church is a family that will be there for them in their faith journey and who will love them for longer than a season. Secondly, this does not mean we abandon or forsake our family. Yet, if they do not know Christ, we invite them to be a part of the family of Christ through the gospel. We must be faithful in them. So how do you become a part of this family? Well, You must repent of your sins and believe in Jesus and his atoning work for sin on the cross, who was raised with resurrection power to provide everlasting life if you believe by faith. You see, the Son of God became the Son of Man that the sons of men might become sons of God. If you want to hear more about Christ and his gospel, there's plenty of people in here who would be willing and love to talk to you further about who this awesome Christ is. Thirdly, the church is our true family. Faith is what makes a true family. Family members of God's house should gather regularly to listen, sing, and pray the word as a family. Christians need to do life together. This is why church membership is important. Guys, we are not bound together by superficial things, but by glorious realities that we cherish together on our pilgrimage to the celestial city. We have much to be thankful for on who God is. And I am incredibly thankful to be a member of Sunrise. Guys, would you pray with me?
Thank you for listening to the Sunrise Community Church Podcast. We pray you are blessed by the preaching of God's Word. If you would like more information about our church, please visit our website at sunrisecc.com. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.